Friends, good morning. I'm Father Ian LaFleur, and it's my privilege to be with you as interim priest in charge, journeying with you over the next several months. I thought I'd say this at the beginning because I tend to slip into a bad habit that I have. Regardless of how long I've known you, you will find from time to time that I'll be calling you beloved. Okay, so just be warned. So, dearly beloved, may I speak with you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one. Amen. Please be seated. Our bodies, by mass, is about 60% water. I know you know that. Yes? Good. And so if you're in a hard, dry place, and you have run out of water, and you see your loved ones, your wives, and your children, or your husband, and your children, and you see your livestock all suffering because they do not have what is essential for life, what are you going to do? And that was the predicament which the people who would become the people of Israel were in the midst of the wilderness, at a place which archaeology has never really found, Rephidim, which means something like a place of refreshment. And so the irony is present that they were gathered at a place of refreshment and there was no water to refresh the people. The way this story is told, it almost sounds like the people were complaining against God, but if you read the text carefully, they were complaining against the leadership. They were complaining against Moses. Why have you brought us here? Why have you, our leader, put us in a situation where we are now facing an existential threat? Moses, we have no water. You're the one with the authority. You should do something about it. Isn't that right? Isn't it correct that the leaders should lead us in the right way? Should help us to get to the things that we need in order to sustain life. Would you agree with that? Yes. That's the other thing you're going to notice about me. I need you to participate with me, okay? So if I ask you, you know, is that right? And you don't believe, say no. And we'll take it from there, okay? Right? So we expect our leaders to lead in a way which is for the common good. Would you say that's a good way of putting it? Yes. And Moses somehow was more concerned about himself. Oh, Lord, the people want to kill me. That's not the point, Moses. The point is the people are thirsty. And they need water. And what you notice is that God doesn't say of the people, oh, those grumbly people at St. George and Young, why are they always grumbling for water? What God simply says is, Moses, I'm the God of all creation. I'm the God who has loved this people, and I'm the God who will provide for them everything they need. And you, as the leader that I have commissioned to lead this people, you need to get up and go, Moses. Pick up your staff, stop waiting around, and go over there, stand on that rock and strike it, because I will provide. And God does provide. And I hope that when we leave this place today, we hear something important about the nature of God. And that is that no matter how dry or how hard the situation may be, the answer to the question, is God among us, is yes. God is among us. God has not brought us here to leave us now. God is with us. And when things are hard, even if all you can do is to raise your voice and say, oh God, help me, do it. Because God, who is present with us, will hear the cry of God's people. The issue of leadership, of course, is at the heart of our passage are passages from St. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 21, and of course in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. The issue with the church at Philippi is undetermined. Scholars are not concluded in terms of what the particular issues were. But certainly it seemed as though that there were others who were coming into the church, sneaking in through the side door and leading people into a different way of thinking, away from what Paul calls, in the English translation — there's a problem with the translation, I'll get to that in a moment — but away from what Paul calls the mind of Christ. The word in Greek is phroneo, and it's actually mind is not the best translation. Phroneo speaks more to a deep, wise way of knowing what the right course of action is to be. Deep. And what Paul is exhorting the people at Philippi is that Christ has given us an immense gift. And that gift is that because of the cross, we have access to the same mind as was in Christ. Are you with me? The same mind as was in Christ. So when you come to hard decisions and you're saying, I don't know whether to go to the right or to go to the left, you're right, my left. That we have access to this deep wisdom, which is the wisdom of God. And Paul is not speaking to us here personally. All of these commands are plural. So he's actually speaking to the church, the people of St. George and Young, the people of the church in Philippi. You, because this is important, this gift that God has given to us is to be discerned within community. Paul isn't giving us any notion of personal salvation here. This salvation is for the community, for the body of Christ in the world. And it is this body of Christ working together, discerning together, crying out to God together, which has access to this deep way of knowing, of learning whether God wants us to go to the left or to the right. It's a completely different way of living. And Paul gives us a sense in terms of how contrarian this way of living is by citing this old hymn from the church. Speaking of Christ Jesus, he said, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Now, you've got to pause and just hear this. You are there with God, relaxing, you know, having some heavenly caviar, and you choose to leave all of that and come down this condescension to be with this motley crew of people at St. George and Young. Giving up all the high power and privilege and all of the blessings that come with that, to just come down and be in the midst of this people. And this, of course, is very contrary to even our notions of what a leader looks like today. I think if we turn on the news, we will find so many examples of leaders who use their authority, their power, and their position for the benefit of everybody else. Am I right? Talk to me, am I right? Is that the kind of leadership that we have in the world? And so the Christ-like leadership is literally upside down. That Christ gives us a model of leadership where he empties himself, comes down to be with us, experiences the humility as we are. Because it is only from that place that we are able to see what God is able to do. The hymn concludes by says, God exalted him. And the teaching then from St. Paul is that if we are willing to live this cruciform life, a life in the form or a life in the model of the cross, that the kind of leadership that we would show in the world would be a leadership which comes down from on high and makes its home amongst the poor and the needy in the world. And that is at the heart of what the Lord Jesus is teaching in our gospel portion for today. The leaders of that day are, in fact, by the time of our gospel, they're PO'd with Jesus. You know that word. It comes, you know, with a lot of good theological credentials. In order to understand where we are, we've got to just go back to the beginning of chapter 21. Jesus has come into Jerusalem. The people have laid down the palm branches. He's riding in a donkey. Everybody is shouting, Hosanna. He comes in. The leaders begin to get upset. Tell them to be quiet. He goes into the temple. He overturns the economic system, overturns the tables of the money changers. And now they're really ticked off, right? Because he's going after the money. And then he sees the fig tree and he gives an example. He says that each life must bear fruit. And so he curses the fig tree because, as an example, it is an example to us eternally that we're not just here for a good time. We are here, I dare say, to do God's will. And the leaders come to him and say, by what authority are you doing these things? But that's not the point. The point is that those who had authority were not doing the things that God's people needed. Are you with me? The poor were still hungry. Those who had no work still were being left on the roadside. And those who had authority were not using their authority to do what God would have us do. That's the point. And the other important point is that all of us are just human. And we will get it wrong from time to time. We will say, yes, Lord, we're going to do it. And then we'll say, oh, I'm too busy. I've got Bible study tonight. Can't go down to All Saint Sherburn Street. I've got other things to do. But Jesus' point is critical for us to hear. That even when we get it wrong, what God is always waiting for us is that we might turn and say, oops, I got it wrong. And I am turning around from wherever it was that I'm going. And I'm heading back in the direction of God to do the will of God. And that's where I'd like us to rest for today. We are the body of Christ in the world. We are both a congregation with needs who may cry out to God from our places of wilderness. But we are also to exercise a kind of leadership in the world that reveals the cross. And what God is interested in is not just that we say that we are Christians, but you might say that we do Christianity. And so I hope when you go home and someone says to you, what did that new guy talk about? You say, the gospel says, just do it. Just do it. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is one.